Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
When the word says that God wishes that we be in health and prosper just as our soul prospers, and that this promised land of rest is a spiritual place here on this earth, not dependent upon circumstances. It's not a place where all your circumstances are going right, so therefore you're happy. It's a place where you believe God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. With everything within you, you believe God, and you enter into this place of rest, irregardless of what's going on in your life. And I've experienced that place. You know, the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivereth them out of them all. And sometimes when we're going through this stuff, it's easy to think, what did I do? Or why doesn't God love me too? And you know what I love about God is he can handle those questions. But we need to remember what the word said. And the word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivereth them out of them all. But it's within this deliverance, it's within this time of testing, it's within this wilderness period, wherever you are in your life, that you have to trust God. Believe God. I've had times in the promised land where nothing was going right circumstantially, and yet I was in total peace. I was in total joy. I was in such a place that I woke up with a smile on my face and went to bed with a smile on my face. When I had leukemia in the hospital and I was given terrible statistics, I wasn't going through pleasant things. Chemo is not pleasant. Losing all your hair is not pleasant. Getting transfused with blood 27 times is not pleasant. Living in the hospital a couple of months is not pleasant. Not being able to be with your children or your family is not pleasant. And being told you're going to die is not pleasant. And yet, God kept me in this promised land of faith and joy, where I was so close to him, I could feel his breath on my neck. So there's times when my circumstances have been awful, and yet I was in the promised land. And then there's times where my circumstances have been pretty good, and I, by my own choosing, have walked away from them and gotten out of the promised land and been miserable, even though everything was going my way, quote unquote. See, it's not dependent upon what's going on in your life. It's dependent upon believing God and trusting God. And when we believe God and trust God, that's when he changes what's going on in our life. So we talked about the fact that it was important for us to know what would be causes of unbelief. Because the one requirement for entering the promised land of God is to have belief. And so we need to know what would be causes of unbelief. And last week we talked about worry being a huge cause of unbelief. And if you weren't here, I do encourage you to get that message. And the reason I encourage that is because messages do build precept upon precept. It's changing, and it has changed my life, and I can't imagine missing any part of it. But today I want to talk to you about another major cause of unbelief that keeps us from entering God's promised land of rest, and that's when we don't have a Sabbath rest. Now, I want to tell you something before I even start teaching this. What I thought I would be teaching about this is not what I'm going to be teaching. See, what's so exciting about the Word is you get in it, and you start reading it, and you start studying it, and not only is it better than you thought it was, many times it's way different than you thought it was. But God says that we're to have a Sabbath rest. And one of the causes of unbelief is when we don't take a Sabbath rest. Sabbath in the Greek is the word sabbaton, and in the Hebrew, Shabbat. In the Ten Commandments, commandment number 4, Exodus 20, verse 8, says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I want you to keep that in your mind, by keeping it holy. God is our example for a Sabbath rest. You know, God and Jesus are always our examples. And in the Old Testament, Jesus had not yet come, and so God was their example for a Sabbath rest. And in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that He'd made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day, and thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. And by the seventh day, God had finished the work He'd been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all His work of creating that He had done. So physically, a Sabbath rest means taking a day and stopping working. But it goes further than that. If we're to imitate God, God didn't just stop and get out the TV controls and get in the lazy boy and hang out. He stopped and He looked back on the other 6 days and He said, it's good, this is good. See, if we're to imitate God in physical rest, we're to stop and look back and say, look what God did. Look what He created. Look how He answered prayers in my life. Look at what He's done this week, last month, last year. And what does that do when we stop and we have a thankful heart? It builds our belief, and belief is our requirement for entering in to the promised land. The Israelites, in their time of testing, were told to have a Sabbath rest. The day before their Sabbath, they were told this in Exodus 16:23. This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil and save whatever's left and keep it until morning. And then on the Sabbath, they were told by Moses, okay, eat it today, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord and you will not find any on the ground. 6 days you're to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there won't be any. Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, and that's why on the sixth day He gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day, and no one's to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. I see a promise there to you. When we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and we take a time of rest, do you know that God will give us double the day before as if we were working? I see a promise there. Exodus 16:29, bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath, and that is why on the sixth day He gives you bread for 2 days. I think so often when I don't quit and I don't slow down and I keep going and I keep working and I push myself and push myself and push myself past the point of even health, what I'm saying is, God, I don't trust You to fill in. I'm just going to have to keep going. Instead, maybe I should look at the Word and go, hey, you know what? We've got even a better testament, but the Old Testament says that You gave them double on the day before and they rested. So I'm just going to claim that even this time that I'm resting, You're on it. You are on it. Exodus 16:5 also says on the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. I can even say, hey, I'm just going to believe that the days that I am working, I'm going to bring in twice as much so that I can have a rest. I trust You, God. I believe You, God. All of us physically need to rest. All of us. And I am the worst at resting. I've joked with you all before, and those of you that know me well know it's true. I have a really good work ethic, only sometimes I don't know when to turn it off. And lots of times turning it off and stopping is trusting God that He's going to give me double the day before, and that I can say, I rest, God. I trust You. But see, I like studying His Word because then I know what I can trust and believe. I never knew that I could say, oh my gosh, God, I trust You that You'll be working and giving me double as if I worked that day, as if I exerted myself that day. So Sabbath rest means that we need to take time physically to rest, but we also need to look back while we're taking time physically to rest and say, it is good. God, You're so good. Look what God has done. And then we'll know in our inner being, our faith level, our belief level goes up, and we enter into the promised land. And then I'm bothered by something, because the Sabbath rest for a Christian is supposed to be Sunday, and that's not my Sabbath rest. I wake up early on Sundays. I pray hard on Sundays. I prepare the rest of my messages on Sundays. I give the message on Sundays. And then many, many Sundays, I minister and pray with people on Sundays. Lacey leaves here, and he goes to work on Sundays. And that really bothered me. See, because I want to please God. And so I had to dig into the Word, because I want to find out, what does God expect of me? What is He saying to us as believers about a Sabbath rest? See, because the book of Hebrews indicates that there is a Sabbath rest that we just described in the Old Testament. But it says that there's something more to it, and that's what we're studying right now. I want to read this to you. Hebrews 4:4, for somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all His work. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. He's saying there's another Sabbath rest, not the one that you all know where you just rest physically. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall short by following their example of disobedience. And I thought about that, and I thought, wait a minute. The Israelites did honor the fourth commandment. They took a Sabbath rest. Some did, some didn't, but as the majority did. But they still, the ones that came out of Egypt, they still were not allowed to go into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. And so the requirement for entering in God's promise of rest, the real promise of rest on this earth, is not following the rules of holding the Sabbath holy and not working. There's got to be something more here. Whenever you look at the Old Testament, it's good to keep in mind that it is a shadow of the fuller picture of who God is. But it's a shadow. Jesus is the one that came and showed us God's true heart. So the Old Testament, God makes a rule, and He says you will rest physically one day. If you break it, you're in trouble. In the New Testament, Jesus comes and He says, you will rest spiritually every day. In the Old Testament, they rested. And you remember the scriptures I just read about them gathering the manna. They could gather the manna, which was the bread or a substance-like bread rained down from God that was their sustenance. They could gather it for 6 days, but on the seventh day, they couldn't. On the sixth day, they got double. On the seventh day, they had to stop and rest. Physically, Old Testament. In the New Testament, we don't have to gather bread. We're no longer working for bread. And we're not under the law. Jesus is our daily bread. And we're to pray, give us our bread. And we're to have rest spiritually every day. I want to read you some scriptures so that you'll know what I'm talking about. You see, we're to imitate Jesus. And if I was to stand up here and say, it is a law, you cannot go to your ranch on Sunday. You cannot go anywhere. Close your stores. You cannot work on Sunday or you are sinning. Well, then I have a problem. Because Jesus worked on the Sabbath. Now, Granted, the Sabbath for them was Saturday, but the principle still stands. And I didn't realize this until I started looking at it. Jesus worked all the time on the Sabbath. See, because Jesus came and he demonstrated that we're to be led to physically rest by God, not by a law. We all need physical rest. I believe, honestly, that we do need one day a week of physical rest. But for some of us, it may be Tuesday. For some of us, it may be Monday. For me, it's never Sunday. But I'm led. I'm not under the law. Why? Because I'm supposed to imitate Jesus. And here's what Jesus was doing many times on the Sabbath. Jesus provided physical sustenance on the Sabbath. Mark 2:23, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples walked along and they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look what they are doing. It's unlawful on the Sabbath." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus performed many healings on the Sabbath. I mean, I can't even read all of them. But when I started looking at the Word and looking at what the Word was saying, I understood what God was teaching us. Matthew 12:8 says, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going on from that place, he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. And looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Here's another one. "Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath," John 9:14. And some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others answered, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" Jesus taught on the Sabbath. Luke 6:6, "On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and he was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath." And Jesus said, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" Luke 13:10 talks about Jesus healing and teaching on the Sabbath. Mark 3:2, Mark 3:4, John 5:9, on and on and on. And you know what this is saying? It's saying that God does not want a bunch of people coming on a certain day of the week because they have to, when their hearts are far from wanting to be there, and checking it off their list and feeling like, "Well, I'm a good person because I did my duty." He doesn't want our hearts one day a week to turn towards him, but every single day. Jesus came to fulfill God's law of rest. And I thought in talking about this and talking to God about this and praying about this, I thought, but then why did you ever, Lord, make a day of rest and make it a commandment like that if Jesus himself, who is you, is going to come and break it? That didn't make sense to me. But see, Jesus didn't come and break it. He came and he fulfilled it. Colossians 2:17 says, of the Sabbath rest, "These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." You see, in the Old Testament, there was always a works mentality, gathering bread, gathering the things of God, working to please God. And in the Old Testament, everything was physical. There was a physical temple that they went into to have contact with God. Whereas in the New Testament, we are called the temple of the Holy Spirit. We could go and have church out in the middle of the field somewhere. As a matter of fact, I sometimes think that God honors the heart more that goes out in the middle of the country and stops and prays and rides his horse than the man who dresses up, goes to church, checks it off his list. But his heart was far, far, far from God. God cares about our hearts. We're no longer under the law because God wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. And what cracks me up about Jesus, and we're supposed to be imitators of Jesus, is that Jesus rested when no one thought he should be resting. You remember that? Like there's a big storm in the boat, and the boat's going to be overturned, and everyone is freaking out, and Jesus is asleep. Why? Because the Father said, hey, you know what? Rest. I got it taken care of. Okay. He goes to sleep. Everyone else is like, get up. What are you doing? We're going to die. And then there are other times that probably the Pharisees, obviously, were absolutely up in arms because here is this teacher, rabbi, as they called Jesus in those days, and he's healing on the Sabbath. Why was he healing on the Sabbath? Why was he working on the Sabbath? Because he was listening to the voice of God. And God said, heal. And he said, okay. And then he said, see, the Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. You're not under the law. You're under the voice of God. You're under his guidance. God no longer wants a group of people who cannot hear his voice, but they can only go by a set of rules. He wants people that want to be with him and that want to hear his voice. And if we're to be like Jesus, there's going to be times where it looks like we should be resting and God says work, and it looks like we should be working and God says rest. See, that's the beautiful thing and the scary thing about following the Holy Spirit. Because then you realize, I don't have a set of rules to follow. Of course we have guidelines. And of course, the Ten Commandments are in no way nullified. But I don't have a set of rules where I can just do this and this and this and be okay. I have a relationship with my Father. And within that relationship, Jesus wants us to have spiritual rest. It's not just about physical rest. In the Old Testament, it was so much about physical rest. In the New Testament, we're to have God's leading in order to have physical rest. And you know, there's got to be balance in this, so I want to say this too. The book of Hebrews says for us to not cease meeting together, which means church. Church is when a group of believers, wherever you are, you can be in Malaysia in a hut, you can be on the shores of some African beach, you can be somewhere freezing cold in an igloo, kind of like today. And that's church, where believers gather together. And the Word says for us to not cease doing that. So I don't want to bring across a message that it's just okay for you to never go to church and, hey, God's just kind of led me out to the ranch and that's where I'm going. Well, that may be fine sometimes, but we are a body and we are a family and we need each other. And the reason that there's so many people that are leaders in church that are so burnt out is because there are other people who don't go and don't take any responsibility, and you've got a few people doing everything. And then you have a bunch of other people coming in and criticizing the few people that are doing everything. And I don't think in heaven there's going to be a critic's corner. I don't think that God's going to say, hey, you know, tell me, what were you saying about that rector you had? I'm interested. See, when we face God, we're going to answer just for ourselves. And the Bible says, don't quit ceasing to meet together because we're to encourage each other in psalms and praises. And we're to have spiritual authority. We're to have people over us that are our authority and our covering. But we're not under a written set of rules to where our heart is far from our actions. God wants us to follow our Holy Spirit. It's not a religious spirit, it's a relationship. And so we want to follow the Holy Spirit in having physical rest, and we want to have spiritual rest every day. And I know that for me, church is a place to come with other believers and to receive from you all the things that are missing in me, and to perhaps give to you all the things that are missing in you. We are one body, and we're to need one another. When I had leukemia, the most beautiful picture of this to me was that I had to have 27 blood transfusions, each of those transfusions representing 6 or 7 different donors. That's a lot of different blood. And I remember asking God and saying, God, you gave me a promise, and he did, in the middle of the night, which is another story, of healing me. So why don't you just heal me? Why do I have to have all these blood transfusions? They take forever. And they're taking from the community, you know? They're taking from the blood bank, and the blood bank always has a shortage. And why? And the Holy Spirit said so clearly to me, Kathleen, I'm teaching you that you need people. And the body of Christ needs the body of Christ. See, we need to come together to transfuse one another and to receive Christ's blood and body. Don't cease meeting together. But it shouldn't be out of a compulsion or rules where we just look at our watch the whole time and we can't wait to get out of there. It should be because we're drawn to the Word, and we're drawn to His truth, and we need to be encouraged and strengthened and fortified, and we need our blood transfusion, and that we need to be willing to give our very own blood. You know, Jesus' disciples were raised in the Old Testament mentality of works, 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 and I think it's interesting in light of what we're studying that they went to Jesus and they said, what can we do to work the works of God? Tell me how to work the works of God. In other words, what do I need to do to enter the promised land, to please God? What do I need to do? And Jesus responded in John 6:29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one He sent. It just keeps going back to believe, believe. And so then His disciples asked Him, well, what miraculous sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is My Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never thirst. See, in the Old Testament, they were given manna in the wilderness, and they were told to gather it for 6 days, and on the sixth day they would have double. And then they were to rest. They were commanded to rest. But now, with the revelation of Jesus Christ, He is the bread that we don't have to gather or work for. We're even taught to pray, Lord, give me this day my daily. Give me. Even when we receive communion, our hands are open. We're in a stance of kneeling and receiving. You don't go up to communion and pass the communion tray around and each grab a piece. It's a place of receiving our daily bread. God wants us to receive daily spiritual rest. And He wants us to receive His Holy Spirit to a place where we also are led into physical rest. My personal opinion is that we need physical rest once a week. My personal opinion, though, is that God cannot be boxed in. There are times in my life where it just seemed like I had this energy from God to complete something, and I went, and then God said, rest. And when I rested, I had to trust God that He was working on whatever it is, even as I was not physically. But spiritually, we're to rest every day. We're not to be worked up with our problems. We're not to be full of worry and anxiety. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Spiritually, Jesus says that we are to rest every day. The Sabbath rest means believing God every day, resting spiritually. Hebrews 4:9 again says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Hebrews 3 says that the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as the Israelites did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Jesus says that when we're weary in our soul, that we're to come to him. He tells us clearly in Matthew 11:28 and 29, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. And it may seem like I'm jumping from physical rest and spiritual rest and physical rest and spiritual rest, but see, we're one. We are a physical being. We have a spirit and we have a soul. We are body, soul, and spirit. And it's hard to separate the three. The most important thing that I'm learning is that instead of living with rules and regulations when my heart is far from rest, I need to be resting and trusting and believing God and hearing his voice. I can't tell you how many times I've dressed up, gone to church, not listened to one thing anyone said. My brain was working overtime about all the situations and the problems that I had in my life. And I had no physical rest that day or spiritual rest, but I just checked church off my list. That's not what God wants. God wants a people who every day, no matter where they are believing him and trusting him and relying on him. Jesus says, come to me this morning while it's called today. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Rest is something that Jesus gives to us. But he says, come to me. Let's ask God for rest today and ask him to show us each not what we're to do under compulsion, but what he wants us to do every day. I love the thought of it being a Sabbath day and everyone in Jesus' time is not helping anyone else because you're not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath. And yes, that was the law. And here's Jesus listening to his Father, and the Father says, go and teach, and Jesus teaches. And the Father says, go and heal, and Jesus heals. And so it looks like he should be resting and he's working. And then there's storms, like we said, when the boat was in a storm and Jesus was in the boat, and it looks like he should be working and he's asleep. You see, God wanted his son to just listen to his voice, and we are his sons and daughters. What would our lives be like if we rested when he said rest, and we worked when he said work, and we got together and we praised him? What would our lives be like if we allowed ourselves to hear the voice of God? And the first step in hearing the voice of God is coming to him. Heavenly Father, your word says to come to you, all who are weary and heavy laden, and you will give us rest. Father, I just claim for these people, for myself, your truth, that you are the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread, Father. Give us this rest, this spiritual rest that we need every single day. Lord, regardless of circumstances, regardless of everything in our lives, let us have a gift of faith, a belief that you are God. and that you do work all things for good according to those that love you and are called according to your purposes. Lord, teach us to rest. Teach us to rest physically and to know what that means. Teach us that when we rest physically, so often we can completely depend on you, or every time we can depend on you to work when we're not even working. Father, teach us to rest every day spiritually. Most of all, teach us to hear your voice so that we can enter into your promised land. Father, I know this is just so much to put forth in such a short amount of time, so I'm trusting you to continue to speak, to continue to lead, and to continue to teach your people all that you want them to know on this.